Everybody, and we are back. I know it's been a bit of a while, but we had a bit of an accident that Loney might tell you about later. But this is going to be a bumper edition. We've got lots to talk about. It's the last one in the current series, isn't it, Stuart?
Certainly is.
Yeah, and what we've done is, and this was is our plan going forward, because the older gentleman seems to have disappeared, that we've got a guest. So we want to have regular guests coming in. And our guest this morning is, introduce yourself, Mart.
Martin, hello everybody. I am here for the first time. I had a very inflated view of what the setup would be here. I thought we'd be in a kind of a posh studio, not sat round a table with the microphones boosted on cardboard boxes. But there you go. I'm a recently retired paramedic and did that for about 15 years. But I've been retired about a year now, so which is absolutely lovely. I love it to bits. I now get to do all the things I love to do, which is mainly playing table tennis and playing piano, and do
and now doing a podcast every now and
doing this podcast.
Oh, great, yeah. Welcome.
So that's me.
Yeah. And how do we know you? Tell us how we met.
You tell me that I met you on a bus in Anglesey, which I was completely departed from my memory. But we used to do these religious camps together, didn't we? Yeah. Which weren't particularly religious. They were called Adventure Camp, and we were teenagers, and we used to live under canvas and do exciting things like abseiling and canoeing with very little
control. It was always worth hanging around Martin, because where Martin was, there was always a load of young girls.
Was there?
Yeah, there was.
Sniffing around him.
This is not true.
It might not be true anymore, Martin, but you know it was then.
I think that's the point. It's not true anymore. That's the issue.
Those golden days of the early 80s.
Yes, halcyon days of Martin. Having the right surname, we think, helped, didn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's your surname?
MacArthur. Yes. But I just had, I had other brothers.
He had other brothers.
Four good-looking boys back in the day.
Yes.
Right.
There you go. So, yes, so lovely to have you, Martin.
Thank you very much.
And hopefully it will liven the place up a bit. And
sure
give
will.
Us all sorts of things to talk about. Yeah. Speaking of things to talk about, Stuart.
Well, it is a bumper edition. It's an absolute bumper edition. We were hugely excited about how many people enjoyed the Who Snuffed It section. So I think that's given a couple of permanent
snuffers.
Celebrity snuffed it. So we're going to do that again. But most importantly, we want to know, what was Oasis like?
Oh, unbelievable. Really, really good. Really thoroughly enjoyed it. Even better than I thought it was going to be, actually. So great crowd, great atmosphere. Everybody was just in a great mood.
Great stuff.
Great stuff, Greg,
great stuff, mate. I'm an Oasis. Great bunch of fellas. Do a lot of good work for charity. Sorry.
Have you finished?
Yes.
And also Richard Ashcroft was really good.
Good, got that right.
Not Ashworth. Richard Ashcroft. Very
and
good.
Did you see Cast?
No. I was drinking fairly heavily at that point. And Aperol Spritz at Wembley. Who'd have thought?
Well, interestingly, our youngest son, he wasn't this time because he's back at university now, but he works on the bars at Wembley.
Mm.
And I take it the price of the Aperol Spritz was quite eye-watering.
It was one for $12.95, two for $20. So
sorry,
I did
blimey.
Two.
Had a bit of commentary there.
The two for 20s went down well.
Right.
Yes.
Oh,
very
sorry.
Well.
Now I'm going to be a bit thick here, but what is an Aperol Spritz?
Well, the Aperol is a drink in itself.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
And
then
they mix it. Well, I don't think they mixed it with Prosecco. You can have Prosecco and maybe soda water with it. It's just like a nice, refreshing.
Probably soda water.
Cocktail. I don't know, because I have a bit of a memory blank.
Because he said, and I might have mentioned this before, but I'll say it again, you can get gin and tonic. And he said, basically, it's a load of ice and then a shot of gin, and then you just fill it up with tonic. Mm. Or they do pink gin and tonic. So people like a pink gin, don't they?
I do.
Yeah, load of ice, shot of gin, a shot of pink colour out of a squeezy bottle. You know, like when you go to a coffee shop, you get a squirt of caramel, squirt of pink. And then, and it was just like that. Two of those, that'll be £23, please, madam. He found it almost embarrassing.
Yeah. But going back to the concert.
But anyway, you had quite a lot of those.
But every song they played, everybody knew. You just know them, just one after another.
Did they do Sheet Electric?
Yes.
Oh, thank God for that. Not that I'm going to see them.
It's just 2 hours of absolute bangers, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is. One after the
other. Everyone a winner.
Everyone a winner. Everyone knows
and everybody
every
knows every word. And it was, really loved it. I really enjoyed it.
Like a middle-aged version of kids who go and see Charles XCX, i.e. everyone's just singing along word for word the whole
time.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Did you not find that irritating?
Loved it. No, it's really good.
I'll be telling everybody to shut the fuck up around me. I'm trying to listen to Liam, not you. You're
curious. Do you know the sound quality was really good as well? Mm. That really impressed me because I remember when we went to see Harry Styles, the sound was awful, but the sound was brilliant. Liam sounded great. They both did.
Probably auto tune.
Did they sing the theme tune to?
God,
did they do Half a World Away?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yes, they do.
They definitely do.
Yeah, I'm not sure what point of the concert they did anything. Yeah. But
did you have to pay excess sums for your tickets?
I did buy them after the event, but not too crazy.
Okay.
They weren't too crazy, I've got to say. Had a bit of a panic on the morning of, because I've been waiting. So I bought them on Viagogo, and I was waiting for the old email saying that my tickets were available the morning of. They're not available. We're working something out. We'll either get your replacement or you'll get your money back. And I was like, oh my God.
You don't want your money back, do you?
Yeah. And then I got another email a bit later on to say, they're not available, but these are your options. And I selected them. And actually, looking at where we were sitting to where I was going to be originally, much better. Mm. And then that came from Ticketmaster.
Well, their own boy.
Yes, but I wasn't expecting that.
It's all a massive rip-off.
The seat numbers that Viagogo said that we were having were different from the ones that came from Ticketmaster. So I was just scared it was a whole scam. Yeah. So it was a bit stressful. But no, it all worked out really well. The only problem was getting home. That was horrific.
It's a bit of a nightmare coming out of Wembley.
Well, there weren't enough tubes to get everybody out. So we missed every train coming out of Victoria. So we got back off about 2:30 in the morning and it was just rotten.
Bit of a crap all around there as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's where you were brought up, basically.
That's why I know it's a crap hole.
It's a shame they could have had it a lot better. Like when you go to the football games, they seem to have it a lot slicker. But I know there's not as many people because they're all standing down there, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe with a football game, they know exactly when it's going to fit. And it finishes earlier, of course, doesn't it? Mm. A football game... If it kicks off at 8, by 10 o'clock it's over. Whereas, did it not finish nearer to 11?
It was supposed to be 10:15, 10:30, because we thought, we'd be fine to get the train out of Victoria, but we missed everyone.
They've been quite strict with the set list and the timings. It's all come out.
There was
This is the support, and this is the second.
And they were spot on.
Oasis and Wharf, you'll be out of Wembley at 10:15.
Yeah, and that's what we thought, and we did. Right. They didn't come on for an encore or anything. But no, it was pretty awful. But it didn't matter. I loved it.
It might be. I mean, it's probably a longer event than football. Maybe people were a bit more... piss, they're drunk more, they're slower at getting out, and you know, it could be lots of people might have had their first time at Wembley as well, and they're just slow getting down.
Everybody's singing as you're leaving, everybody's in a good mood, apart from my husband who really hit a wall of not being happy, but he was fine then. But it's when we were trying to get to East Croydon and it stopped along the way, and then we had to go to Three Bridges and get a taxi. So when we go see Coldplay, I'm staying up there somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm going Sunday and I'm hideously excited.
Yeah.
Have you worked out how you're getting there and getting home after this story?
We're staying up in London anyway.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Probably the best thing to do.
So, yeah, I'm terribly, terribly excited.
Yeah.
I'm also terribly excited for who snuffed it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Forgot about that. So, who snuffed it this week, Stuart?
Well, first person who snuffed it, televangelists, as they're called, Jimmy Swaggart.
Has Jimmy Swaggart gone?
Never heard of him.
Oh, he 19. Was on and cried, didn't he? Because he was found visiting prostitutes or something.
I think he was very, he was a bit dodgy, old Jimmy.
Never heard of him either.
Well, they're all extremely dodgy. They preach one thing and practice another.
It's all about the God will love you. He'll love you even more if you punch the numbers of your credit card into the phone right now.
Yes.
That's how much he will love you.
He was caught with a load of prostitutes or something like that. And he basically went on to his thing and he cried and said, God, you must forgive me. And he was bawling on there. And he sort of kept his job somehow.
And all the money just kept rolling in.
Yeah.
Actually, it's madness, YouTube.
Yeah. He blamed it all on the devil. The devil caught hold of me for...
Yeah. 16 years.
He must have been pretty old, I should think.
He was 90.
Oh, it's a shame. It was not that long, really.
Famous jazz singer Cleo Lane.
Oh, oh yeah. Heard of her?
Yes. Yeah. Cleo Lane died last week. She's 94.
Famous scatter, wasn't she?
She was.
There's a good documentary about her, actually, on the TV I started watching recently. Yeah.
Really?
My dad was a big fan of her.
Yeah, my mum was a huge fan of Cleo Lane, yeah. Sorry. I think her daughter, I can't remember what her name is now, she's a jazz
singer.
She's
a musician as well, isn't she? Yeah.
Yes, my parents did have a Cleo Lane album, which is for them is quite good, really.
That's quite... That's quite your mum and dad.
That's quite progressive.
Avant-garde.
Quite progressive.
Don't forget where your microphone is, Stuart.
I expect the listeners will get over it.
So badly behind. I don't know why I bother.
But exactly. Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Do you know who he was?
Malcolm Jamal.
Oh, he was
Warner.
In.
Yes, go on.
Oh, gosh.
Go on. You've got it. You know what it is.
TV show.
He was.
And was it Different
down.
Strokes no, or nearly. No? What was it?
He was Fresh Prince.
No, he was the boy. He was the son from The Cosby Show.
That's right. Oh. That's right.
He was 54, 51, 52.
Oh, he was
that's young.
Yeah, no, he was. No, he was very young. He was, yeah. I mean, do you reckon he knew that obviously all those years that. His TV dad was slightly on the dodgy side.
Well, that's right. It's very much under a cloud now, isn't it, that series?
Yeah. You don't hear about it at all now,
well,
do you?
They won't rerun it.
Reruns of The Cosby Show are finished now.
That must be so annoying. When people like this guy and all the co-stars, who may have innocently had no idea that Bill was like that, seeing all the stars of other massive comedy shows picking up all these repeat fees, and they're gone.
But
they're
they'll be like, gone here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Executives will just say, right, no more Cosby shows on reruns. Yeah. Gone. Finished.
Yeah.
So no more huge checks every year just from going into syndication. Yeah. So he's obviously pretty pissed off.
So how did he go?
I think he had a heart attack.
Oh, did he?
So pretty sad. 71-year-old Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yes. It's funny, actually, because I saw a lot of people put online who are obviously big fans of WWF. Oh, Hulk's gone like that. He was a pretty unsavoury character, wasn't he?
Very much so. He's a massive Trump supporter.
Yeah. He's a huge Trumper. He did the old... I thought it was quite funny how, obviously, you know, Kamala Harris had all these huge billionaire megastars come and do... You know, he's got Beyonce and Bruce and all this stuff. Donald, he had Hulk Hogan. And Kid Rock.
And
he still won.
Can you remember the name of the character he played in Rocky 2?
Three,
was
Rocky
it? Three.
No, but he was in Rocky III.
He was Thunderlips.
Was he?
Thunderlips, yeah. And the thing is, he looked gigantic. And, of course, he was really big. But they didn't have to sort of do any special effect to make him look really big because, actually, Sylvester Stallone was much smaller than you imagine because he played the heavyweight champion of the world, Sylvester Stallone. But he's actually only about 5'9". Mm. So he was just made to look bigger. Yeah. So Hulk Hogan, or Thunderlips, he was called, didn't take the thing... He took it seriously, didn't he, the fight? They were supposed to have an exhibition match, the top wrestler versus the top boxer.
So he died.
Yeah.
And I think Hulk died of a heart attack as well, didn't he? Too many steroids.
Too many steroids,
I was going to say, because he was still sort of doing those sort of things in his 70s, which is probably not very good for you. And, of course, probably the most famous one of the week was, of course, dear old Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, Uncle John.
Who?
Oh. Well, his real name was John Osborne, and I used to work...
Oh, Ozzy, who we talking about?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I used to work with somebody who's... And she was his niece. And she got on really well with Sharon Osbourne, who was her auntie. She was her mum's sister. And she used to come to me every year in catering and say, can you get me a couple of massive jars? Because we used to buy things in like 2-gallon jars, whatever they might happen to be. Because she used to make pickled onions and then DHL them over to Ozzy for his Christmas present. Because she said he's obviously loaded.
Yeah.
But what he really loves is her homemade pickled onions. So that was her present she used to send over to him.
I think it's mightily impressive that he did a gig 3 weeks before he popped his gloves.
I think that's
excellent.
Yeah. I wonder if he knew. I mean, he obviously knew because he had Parkinson's. So he knew he was... But I wonder if they knew how far he was, you know, towards the finishing post.
Mm.
Yes, he's quite bizarre, you think. When he died, you thought, oh, my God, he only did that concert a couple of weeks ago.
I know, yeah.
So, and there's video of him a couple of days as well before he died with his grandchildren or something, isn't it? He didn't look that bad.
No. Well, relatively speaking. That was a great gig. Did you watch it?
I didn't see it, no.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Well, I hadn't realised it was on pay-per-view. And even at £25, I'd have probably gone for it.
Wow.
£25.
Blimey. Hang on a minute.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like a... it was like a 9-hour event.
Extravaganza.
Yeah, it was a big old thing. Yeah. And I would have been quite interested, and I probably would have done. But, of course, the very next day, it was all free on YouTube anyway. Because people, I don't know how they do it, but it'd been bunged on YouTube. So I watched an awful lot of it. And, in fact, they'd edited all the nonsense out, you know, in between times and everything like that. Mm. And, there were some very good... There were far too many American acts for my liking, weren't it? Not that I've got anything against Americans, but they couldn't, you know, they could have had a few more British acts, I think. I think it showed how much time he spent in America, because all his bandmates were American always, since he left Black Sabbath. But, there was some good stuff on there, and some not very good stuff. Yeah. Nuno Bettencourt from Extreme. Oh, what a guitarist. He is unbelievable.
This is sailing so far above our heads. It's unbelievable.
In fact, I did think of you, though, before we went to Oasis. We sat chatting to a couple of guys. We had something to eat beforehand at Borough Market, and they were on their way to see Judas Priest with Alice Cooper was supporting.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I thought of you then.
Yeah, I didn't go and see them this time around. I think they were playing at Wembley. I am actually going to see a band called Volbeat at Wembley in November, who I love. And they're the sort of... it's quite irritating when you like a band who are a certain size and you think, I know where they're going to play, because they're too big for Hammersmith Odeon, they're too small for the O2.
I think they were going to the O2, these guys.
Was it? I thought it was Wembley Arena. Oh, maybe it was the O2, yeah. Anyway, I saw them only a year ago, so that'll do. That'll do for them.
So they were the snuffed it. Is
that's the
else?
Snuffed it. No one snuffed it in the last day since I wrote the list. Well. So that's good.
That's good.
So that is good. So we have some emails. We went through the email list.
I can't believe we've actually got emails.
Yeah, we get a lot of emails.
Well, I quite often say to Stuart, we've got any emails, and he says, I've forgotten the password. I need to. Do you have to set new passwords every bloody time?
No, I found it.
Oh, you found it.
I found it. I got it. So yeah, we had tons. So some of them were better than others. Lots of people wanted to take us to the next level.
Ah, really? Yes. What, as guests, or...?
We can take you to the next level of podcast fame.
So multiple emails said this, yes?
Yes.
Well, that is a red flag for an AI bot, I would have thought.
Well, it was a bit bot heaven.
Any of these suggestions get Martin MacArthur in?
No.
Oh, right.
They did say, can you get...
Oh, Martin.
Can you get your
clamouring for
can
that?
Can you get your just friend
yet.
Martin
not
in?
Yet. Not
of course
yet.
You can. Of course you can. I said, don't worry, he's coming. Very nice one from a girl called Sophie Adams, who really likes it, but unfortunately we can't go on your podcast because we don't live in Melbourne.
Oh, right.
So that's a bit of a... But thanks anyway, Sophie. And that was a very similar one to...
it's all international stuff.
It's all international stuff. There's a separate one from Geraldo Ignacio, because apparently we don't live in Philadelphia. But my daughter does. But I asked her and she doesn't want to go either.
Right.
So anyway, that's...
Is it not Geraldo?
Geraldo.
Oh, Geraldo.
But you probably say that better than me. Ashish Sen has entered us into a $300 draw for which we could get a voucher.
$300
draw. That's the winner.
That's
we get a
the
voucher.
Sort of thing to get you excited, is
not
it?
Really, we pay $300.
No, we've got a free entry.
Oh, I see.
Into the $300
worth
for which
money.
We could get a voucher. Uh-huh. But I very much doubt we'll win.
What is it? A voucher for
didn't
Sheen
say.
Or whatever. That. You get
Patrick
for Sheen,
Gomez about. Has asked whether we would do a gaming section on each episode. seriously, this is genuine. Patrick Gomez will be the best.
Does it include Space Invaders and Pac-Man?
Yeah, that's
the only
gaming
level.
That we do.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
And he really enjoys the quiz every week. Thank you very much, Patrick. Mia Adams would like to come on the podcast to talk about climate change.
Oh.
Huh. Has she been listening to what we've been talking about over the last few weeks? Not really the sort of...
How many long-haul flights our contributors go on?
She's clearly written to about 1,000 different podcasters asking the same question.
Don't say that. We were feeling special for a minute. don't say that. So that was good. Robert Wint.
You should get back to us. So yes, hang on a minute. Let me just check my diary. Right, sorry, I'm in South Africa then. Then I'm in Australia.
America.
You could do it. You could do it on. Oh no, hang on a minute. I'm then going back to Australia again.
The man with the biggest carbon footprint in the UK.
Yeah.
Steady. Robert Wint, who I know from cricket. Very nice. Thank you, Robert. He would like us to do a quiz. He would like to do a section of four dinner guests we would like to have, but they all have to be dead.
Oh, so I like
one
that.
For the future.
Didn't we do a dinner guest
we
one before?
We did dinner guest, but they could be alive.
Okay, so they have all to, be dead.
They have to be dead.
That sort of lines up rather nicely with Who Snuffed It This Week.
That's huge popular. Mm. And so, yeah, that's pretty well it from the email. So thank you for sending it in.
Mm. We've got a couple of serious ones, haven't we?
We've got a few serious ones. You know, we'll
bring those up.
We do. Yeah, no, it's very good.
Later today, because it gives us material, you see. We've had a few people emailing with material.
Did you ever actually give out your email address?
Because I've heard it.
Yeah, all the time.
And when you, and I always put it on the, I don't know what it's called.
On your link.
Yeah, when the podcast thing comes up, it's always on there.
So we do
mention it. Mm. It is info.homopots@gmail.com.
That is exactly correct. And Leo Glint, please stop sending emails to us. If you're listening, I had 118 useless emails from Leo.
Do you know who he is?
I didn't.
I suspect not.
I suspect he doesn't even exist.
Exactly.
He's a bot.
AI bot alert.
He'll be a bot.
Again.
Yeah, so that wasted a bit of my life, basically, clicking delete 118 times.
When you get a lot of those emails like that and you block it, you get an email. They're sending them from multiple email addresses as well. So you block that email address, and then the next day you get another couple, exactly the same thing, and they've obviously come from. You're just constantly blocking emails.
But there's
addresses.
The one, isn't there, now, where if you don't want to go on it, so you close it down and you block it, you clearly have pressed the cross to get rid of it, and it sends something up to you anyway. You're thinking, that's the last thing I want to see. I want to get out of it.
So,
and now you've got it, then you're stuffed. Yeah. But it's not just that. I mean, the university that Lucy uses, she's got a Penn State. God, trying to get off the Penn State mailing list, it's like virtually impossible.
Let me guess, are they after your money?
They're after my money as potential. My daughter had such a fantastic time. Would you like to give us money for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter and her potential husband, I mean, they're probably going to get emails for the rest of their
life.
Did
you just say potential husband?
Well, because that's possibly... Oh,
she's going to kill you for that.
Still gets emails from her university, which she left... You know, like 40 years ago, still gets letters from.
Please give us your money.
Yeah.
Portsmouth Polytechnic every now and have ceased emailing me.
You're off the list.
Got that one on the list. We haven't quite got that one. So, so that's the email. So thank you for sending it. I mean, except for you, Leo, and you can do one.
That's very nice of you. So, well, we're going to go off for a break in a minute. It's amazing how the time just goes. You know, you start talking about these bits and pieces, emails, celebrity deaths,
absolutely,
Oasis and so on, and the time suddenly goes. So what happens is, Martin, we're going to go on a break.
Lovely.
For the listeners,
yes,
it's a 20-second break.
And what do we do in that
we're
time?
We're going to have a wee, put the kettle on, do whatever he's doing, or even try and work out what we're going to do next.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll see you in just a mo.
And we're back.
That's so wet, isn't it, the way he says that?
Yeah, hello.
You can't say that.
So weedy.
You cannot say that these days. What's wrong with you? You of all people should know better than that. I want to do some manly one. Right, talking of not manly stuff, lionesses.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
I find it interesting how you sort of just... You start off thinking, you know, I've saw a couple of matches and it's not very good. I'm not really interested. And then you just interest builds and builds and builds, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you get to know who the different players are and stuff like that. And, well, you know, what they're good at and what they're not.
I think Shu and Spag know that I've got absolutely no interest in football at all. But the Lionesses absolutely loved it. Women's football... better than men's football,
Thank you, in my
humble opinion, right?
Did you ask him on to this?
They've got all the skill.
Unlike men's
football, right, it hasn't been ruined by money. There's none of this so-called professionalism, otherwise known as cheating, rolling around on the floor, pretending you've been fouled.
Although the Spanish are pretty bad about the women.
The women's game is absolutely beautiful, in my humble opinion.
When you said that there's none of this professionalism. I thought you were going to say skill. But anyway.
Do you know what my son commented on as well? He said, how are all the fans all mixed together and no one's fighting? And there you go.
And they can probably have a drink of the chair. There are lots of very good things about it, I have to admit.
They were brilliant. Really great. It was brilliant. Watching those penalties, oh my God, it was nerve-wracking.
I loved it. Yeah.
I think what you've got to do, and it's interesting you should say, because the money hasn't ruined it.
Mm.
Because, of course, a lot of people who have a vested interest in women's football, unfortunately, would like money to ruin it.
Of course.
You know, you've got this real sort of balance between them saying, like, 16 million people watched it, you know, the stadiums before, we should get the sort of money the men get. But you know that is the road that ruins it. So it's quite a difficult sort of thing, isn't it?
It is. It's very hard. I mean, they're just, the whole thing of it, they're just two completely different games.
Yeah.
Men's sport, women's sport, they're two completely different games, and you've just got to put it as two completely different games and enjoy it or not enjoy it, whichever one you want to go. Yeah.
Have you seen that awful Jerry Barton's making all these awful comments?
If I see anything about him, I can't even read it.
It's just horrible.
I've just broken your pen,
stupid
Stuart.
Comments.
I mean, life will go on. I feel that, you know, I can get...
I think he's a massive dickhead, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's completely
an absolute tool,
ridiculous.
Is, and he wants to be a professional Joey Barton, which means that he knows the more he's a dickhead, the more people will follow him, because there are people that just like people like that.
Mm.
So he's probably playing a vast exaggerated version of himself.
Yes,
now,
he becomes almost like a
caricature. Any lad who buys are saying, get on there, you know, you need to ramp it up, because, you know, since you said the last thing, you've got another 40,000 followers, and it's things like that that...
I shouldn't have given him any oxygen. You're right.
And
it doesn't matter, because even though there are one or two things that you might technically about what he's talking about, he's probably right. He's just such a dickhead. It doesn't really matter what he says now, because he's such a bellend.
But our goalkeeper, wasn't she amazing as well?
Brilliant.
Hannah. She's
Hampton?
Had terrible problems with her. Yes, Hannah Hampton.
Hannah Hampton.
Yeah. She'd had loads of surgery, hadn't she, for eye problems? Yeah, they were all really brilliant.
I thought it was amazing that. I mean, I've never heard, you know, Lucy Bronze playing with a fractured femur.
Yes. Yeah,
fractured, not femur, tibia, wasn't it?
How does she do that?
Yeah, I can't.
Pills, I imagine.
I presume by fractured, it must have been a stress fracture.
Yeah, I imagine.
I mean, it couldn't have been.
Yeah.
It wasn't hanging on by a thread,
no,
was it?
No, it must have been a little cracking or something like that. But the way she was limping, it looked really painful, didn't it?
They have done brilliantly.
Yeah.
And of course, the next day, everyone's in the papers saying, oh, how are they going to monetize this? Which one of these girls is going to really, you know, they're sort of, you know, screaming for Chloe Kelly to take her shirt off and run around in a sports bra so they can do it. She can make like £1 million like the girl from America. Do you remember when she
Alex
did that?
Alex Morgan, was that?
No, Mia Hamm, was it, in America when she scored the winning penalty? Good-looking girl, takes her top off, she's got a sports bra, and, of course, gets a huge, huge contract from Nike.
Oh, I see.
And this sort of stuff. Yeah. So they will try and monetize it.
Yeah.
And the thing about sport is it's such a short career that they need to be allowed to make as much money as they can, because a lot of these girls will literally
Chloe Kelly's
they'll be
about
on sports
31,
money
32 now as well, isn't she? Yeah. So she'll be getting towards the end of her
you need to be able to, they need to be able to make as much money out of it as they can whilst they've still got a chance.
But while the women's game is at this sort of beautiful stage of being unexploited at the moment, I heard a lady on the radio, and she says all her female mates are now go to the footy, and she said to get a season ticket for a smaller club like Luton Town to go and see them all season is about £50. So it's just so different from the men's game.
I think what you've got to do is the people who really are massive supporters, they need people like you who aren't really interested in men's football. You can't sort of expect and make football fans go and see women's football because they ought to, because of equality and stuff, because you can only go to something if you want to go to it. So what you need to exploit people who don't go to men's football, and you need a whole new set of people coming in who find it interesting.
Yeah, if there's 50,000 seats, if you want to play at St James's Park or the Emirates or wherever you want to play, there's 50,000 seats and you want to fill them. And you need to fill them however you fill them, people enjoy it.
Last year, for the first time, about, I don't know, two-thirds of the way through the season, I started going to see a non-league side near where I live, because a really old mate of mine said, I've started going to see Hadley FC with my brother, and I know his brother really well. And he said, why don't you come along? It's just a really nice thing to do. So I went along and I went to about the last four matches of the season, and it was so enjoyable that we bought season tickets this year for really? 60 quid.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is completely, you can't compare it to you. I can't say, oh, I'm getting something out of it because, you know, it's like Premier League football, but it's just cheaper and easier, because it's nothing like it. It's a totally different game. But it's nice that you leave the house about 40 minutes before kickoff and you park in the car park at the place.
Much more convenient.
And then you watch the match, and then by 10 past five, you're in the pub a mile down the road having a couple of pints. And it's just a really nice way to do it. So that club that we go and see, Hadley FC, have now got three new season ticket holders next year. And I think almost that's what you need with women's football. You need people who have never even considered going to football every week, thinking, oh, I really enjoyed that, I'll go down to Luton Town or whatever, you know, other club. I think that the biggest issue that women's football has at the moment is it's so concentrated on about two or three different clubs who are the only ones who can win anything at all. And it's very uncompetitive a bit further down. So if you support Chelsea, you're, apart from when they play Man City or Arsenal, you'll probably go and see them win 4-0 or 5-0 every single week, because there's no level playing field even within women's football at the moment. It's right. Like Arsenal, they were saying last year their average crowd, Arsenal women, was 27,000 people. Luton Town are probably getting 600.
Yeah.
And are only on the level below them. And so I think it'll take a while for it to sort of even out a little bit. Mm. So internationally, it's quite competitive. You know, you've got sort of half a dozen teams at the top then. But even then, you drop down the next level, there would have been a lot of people in the Euros, and it's not very competitive, you know. So, like, you'll get teams like England and Germany playing people in the Euros and winning 6-0, which is sort of, it's quite unusual in championships,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, you need to be, whatever.
So it will take a while. I think a lot of people just want it to happen overnight, and it's never going to happen overnight. Even if people have got the best intentions, like you, and they really want it to work well, it's never going to happen overnight, because, you know, at the moment it is like a different sport.
And totally, it's totally different.
I think it's absolutely fabulous for these lady footballers who are having this big celebration at Downing Street today. I mean, it was so unlikely, their victory. I mean, they were on the verge of losing in the two previous matches, weren't they? So they've made it so exciting, you know, and I just, you know, you've got to wish them all the best. I think they're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think it was. It was really exciting. And it is always, I always say, like, things like that are almost the best way to win it. It's so much more exciting than just going and winning really easily. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if you watched the rugby. Did you watch the Lions match on Saturday morning?
I didn't know.
Right, yeah, I thought you probably wouldn't have done.
But I'm not the world's biggest sports fan.
But the Lions were like at half time, you know, a minute before half time, the Lions were something like 18 points behind Australia, who had a really good patch when the Lions lost a player in the sin bin for 10 minutes. And then the Lions finally beat them in the last minute of the whole match. You know, they clawed all those points back. And it's so exciting. And if you look at it, at the time I was thinking, you know, the Lions should really be beating Australia a lot more easily than that. But to win it the way they did was really exciting. Really exciting. Anyway, that's enough of sport. Martin doesn't like sport. So apparently you've got a quiz.
I've got a fabulous quiz. Ooh, it's called exciting. Cheese or Service Station. You can all play at home, okay? It's going to be very quick fire.
How does this work, then?
Well, I just read out the title of something and you have to decide, is it a cheese or is it a service station?
I like this.
I'm just trying to think to myself if I've ever been to a service station called Cracker Barrel.
That's not in... It's not one of my questions, right, but okay. I like your joke.
Basically, unless it's cheddar or mozzarella, I could be really struggling here.
Are they your two favourite cheeses?
No, I know cheddar and I like mozzarella.
Do hush your lips, please.
All right, sorry. Right. Okay.
Here we go. I'll start you off easy.
Okay.
Peas pottage.
Oh, that's just easy.
Right, we'll go quickly. Next one. Baldock. Baldock. Number three. Annandale.
Oh, throw me a little bit.
Yeah. It's easy because you just have to put SS.
I know,
cheese,
I love this
you?
Quiz. Yeah. Welcome, well, right. Martin. Thank you
very
much.
How are you going to get half a point?
I don't know. I'll work it out.
How are we giving you half a point for this?
Question four. Yeah. Kiddington Ash.
Sorry?
Kiddington Ash.
I feel like I'm God, doing... that could be either, couldn't it?
I feel like I'm doing the shipping forecast. number five, Duddleswell. Duddleswell. And number six, Pont Abraham. P-O-N-T, Abraham.
Pont Abraham.
Yeah, two separate words. Here we go. Number seven, Panties Gorn. I better spell this for
you. Oh, surely that's neither.
P-A-N-T-Y-S-G-A-W-N.
Are you sure there's not one of these your specialist websites?
No, I'm okay. Promise you not.
Specialist website.
There's no age verification required to answer this question. And number eight, Cherwell Valley.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That could be either, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Number nine, Chevington.
I'll meet you at Chevington at 1:30.
Mm.
Would you like some Chevington on toast?
Yes, this is very even. Mm. No cheating when it comes to the answers, okay?
Yeah, there's no half points in this.
I don't think I like what you're implying.
Right. You've got it wrong, you haven't.
You know. Yeah. Number 10, Beacon Fell.
Was that number 10?
That is number 10.
I was just thinking the letter C is very easy to turn into an S.
Do you want more? Or
as if
you...
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll zip through the next lot. Right, Gretna Green.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Cotherstone. C-O-T-H-E-R, Stone. Yeah, be quick now. Number 13, Lee Delamere. Or Lee Delamere, I think it's pronounced, right? Next one, Cotswold. Cotswold. Number 15, Taunton Dean. I love it. I can feel you struggling. Number 16, Toddington.
Oh,
you know that one.
We know that one.
Number 17, Ticklemore. Ticklemore.
How did you even think of this quiz? I love it.
And 18, Sutton Scotney.
Sutton Scotney.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's got to be a trick one.
It's not a trick one at all.
It sounds like Sutton
Spag, Scotney. It's one or the other. Just answer the bloody question.
Oh, I like you,
number
Martin.
19,
very aggressive.
I like you, Martin.
Wallop, fairly Wallop. Oh, Farley Wallop. F-A-R-L-E-I-G-H Wallop. And lastly, Stitchelton.
Right.
Okay.
God almighty. Right. What is amazing, that's... I'm presuming it's almost half and half. I'm being presumptuous.
Yeah, I've been fair. It's 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I could have said that at the start.
So you had 10 service stations there.
And 10 cheeses. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
So
no cheating.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to cheat.
So what have you got for Pease Pottage?
Service station.
Very good. Service station on the M23.
Yeah. Lovely.
Oh, so it's local to
it's
you.
It's just down the road.
It's just down the road.
That's bloody unfair.
I do know it well,
although I did
Pease
get it
Pottage.
Right.
It's a great name.
Yeah.
Bulldog, what do you get for that?
Bulldog cheese.
Is a service station.
It is.
It's on the A1M.
It's on the
A1M.
Yeah, correct. Very good. Excellent. No extra points for knowing where it is,
no
I'm afraid.
No extra points.
And Annandale.
Cheese.
All wrong! Love it!
No.
That's a service station on the A74M.
I love that you know where they are.
I thought you'd go service station.
I knew you'd
about
be
to go
thrilled.
For cheese now.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Harsh.
Kidderton Ash.
Service
cheese.
Station.
Cheese.
It's a cheese.
Yes.
Ah. It's a goat's cheese and it's rolled in ash to give it a distinctive rind. There we go. Kidderton Ash. I know you're loving it, aren't you? Duddleswell.
Cheese
output.
Service station.
It's cheese.
Yeah.
Got Stuart. Love it.
It's a cheese. Excellent. Can you tell us anything about the tasting notes of that cheese?
No, don't.
It's a sheep's cheese.
All right, lovely.
And that's all I know about it. I'm afraid.
We'll be getting Wallace and Gromit on next.
Pont Abraham.
I've got cheese.
I've got service station.
I've got service station.
Oh, yes, good on you two, an unlucky spag. Yes. Service station on the M4.
Yeah, stick that in your
thrilling. Opened in 1983. It's a road chef.
Is it?
Yeah, there we go. Panties Gorn.
Oh, that's got to be... That can't be a service station. Surely it's got to be a cheese.
I put service station.
Did you?
Yeah.
I put cheese.
Yeah, it's cheese. Cheese. Yeah. It's a Welsh cheese.
I thought it was going to be a trick.
I mean, nobody's going to call Panty's Gore as a service station, are they?
Could that be a service station?
I don't know. For goodness sake, I thought it was a trick.
Yeah. In Blenavon in Wales, it's a goat's cheese. Cherwell Valley.
Service station.
Cheese.
I put cheese.
Did you?
Yeah.
You two are wrong, I'm afraid. Oh. It's a service station. One up for Stew.
Put that in your pipes.
Where is that?
It's on the M40 in Oxfordshire.
Boom.
Chevington.
I'm doing it better at this so far than I do most of the quizzes.
It's all gone now, I think.
Come on.
I put service station.
So did I.
Did you?
Sorry, which one's this?
Chevington, number 9.
Hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4. Please say you put service station. No, I have put service station.
Have you? Brilliant. I've got you all. It's a cheese. It's a cow's milk from Northumberland, and it is, of course, a semi soft cheese.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
You even know all about semi soft, Stuart, as well.
Stop it.
Beacon Fell.
Service station.
Cheese.
Cheese.
Yes.
Oh, no.
That, you deserve that. Stuart, being so smart and useless.
It's cheese from Lancashire. It's a cow's milk cheese with a creamy texture and best served at room temperature.
Okay.
Gretna Green.
Service station.
Yes, correct. On the A74M in Dumfries and Galloway. Gotherstone.
Cheese.
Correct. A semi-hard Jersey cow's cheese, which is
sounding more like me now.
Crumbly and tangy and often used in tarts.
In tarts.
In tarts.
So semi-hard and used in tarts.
Exactly so. Lee Delamere.
Oh, that's a service station.
Service station.
Yeah, correct. Did you put that?
I have.
Lovely. We've got 3 points for you lot.
That was the other one I'd heard of, I think.
Lovely. Yeah. Cotswold.
Cheese.
Well, it must be a cheese.
It is a cheese.
Yes.
Semi-hard cow's cheese.
Do you know how did you work that one out? Had you heard of the cheese? I was thinking the Cotswolds is such a big area.
Yeah, it's too vast.
You couldn't have the front to call one of them Cotswolds.
I say well worked out.
Mm-hmm.
It's educational guess.
It's a cheese with chives and onions in, often called pub cheese.
Pub cheese.
Pub cheese.
Mm.
Taunton Deane.
Service station.
Cheese.
Oh, Spag's gone down. It's a service station on
you're
the
doing
M5.
Really badly at this,
in
show.
Somerset.
You say that.
Toddington.
Oh, that's service station.
Service station.
Service station.
On the correct.
On the M1.
On the M1 in Bedfordshire.
Near Junction 12.
Ticklemore.
Cheese.
Yes. It's a blue artisan cheese.
Oh, lovely.
From Totnes in Devon. Sutton Scotney.
Cheese.
Service station.
Ooh, correct, Stu. Service station on the A34 in Hampshire. Farley Wallop.
Cheese.
Service station.
I put service station.
Did you? It's a cheese.
Yeah.
Also a semi-soft goat's cheese created by a well-known ex-pop star.
Oh, is that Alex? Alex, what's his face?
Alex Jones.
Jones
out of Blur.
What's it called again?
Farley Wallop.
Ah.
Here we are. Lastly, Stitchelton.
Cheese.
Service station.
Cheese.
Yeah.
Oh,
unlucky loner.
Get me.
Okay.
Stitchelton, it's a blue cheese made with cow's milk. It's rich and creamy and available in Waitrose.
Is it really? Yeah. I don't shop in Waitrose. It's all a bit pricey.
12. I got 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, a draw at the moment.
What did you?
16.
Oh, 16! Yes. That's unbelievable. That is brilliant.
That's impressive.
I always knew I was a genius, but
I'm very, very impressed.
Basically, fuck you two. That's what I'm saying.
Well done.
We got over 50%.
Yes, we did very well. That's a very good
Martin,
quiz.
Outstanding.
Lovely. Yeah. For the record,
that was outstanding.
Quiz. And you didn't waste any time either.
No, you zipped through it.
I thought he was very strong as a quiz master as well.
He was very good.
I thought he was very
strong. You might need a voiceover job, like for Waitrose or somebody, like those adverts.
No, don't bloody make him feel any better about himself than he really does.
Someone's a bit bitter. Oh, blimey. It's only a quiz, son. Take it easy. Thankfully, there's another quiz coming along later. You might redeem yourself.
We're doing two quizzes today.
Martin had a really good quiz, and a really good mate of ours has sent another quiz along. And so
brilliant.
He's
so excited about getting 16. I've just knocked my microphone over.
How did he send you the answers?
He gave them when I saw him the other day.
Oh, you saw him.
He's given me
in a sealed envelope
with the answers. answers so we can all play along.
Oh, but wow. You've read the questions. You could have looked it up.
Well, I could have, but I have more of a life than you. So I can do these things.
Yeah, I'm with Spag on that one, yeah. Actually. It's given you time to think, isn't it?
You are bitter, mm-hmm. twisted. 12 out of 20 is.
Okay, so Martin's caused a ruption within the whole thing. Well, this would be the very last podcast we do, probably. We've all fallen out. So we're going to go off for another quick break. Yeah, another quick break.
Absolutely.
So pop the kettle on, have a wee, whatever takes your fancy, and we'll see you in a mo.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
That was great, Lainey.
After Martin's amazing quiz.
Stu's lost his job.
Again.
That was so good.
I'm taking control.
You're doing
I
well.
Really am. And now that you're here, I feel yes. like I've got an ally with me. Who,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Who,
it's two against two now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love it. Well, yeah. He did a great quiz. I really like that. I'm not saying your quizzes aren't great. Of course they are. But anyway... Martin was saying that he was a retired paramedic.
I am retired paramedic.
And I'm sure you get lots of people asking lots of questions. What is your least favourite question?
Well, what do you think, have a guess, all of you, what do you think that paramedics least like getting asked?
Am I going to die?
How many dead bodies have you seen?
These are good questions, but that's not the one. The one that paramedics least like getting asked in polite company is, what's the worst thing you've ever seen?
And really? I've asked that a lot, actually. So now I know those people
do you
didn't
get
like me.
That?
I'm not. I'm going to go off you. So off you.
The thing with that question is, number one, it's quite triggering, you know.
Yeah.
Number two, any paramedic who's been doing the job for any number of years could probably tell you about 50 stories that would put you off your dinner. But the worst thing they've ever seen would really... It's a conversation killer.
Yeah.
You know, someone asks you that at a dinner party and if you choose to start describing it, honestly, it doesn't go down well.
No.
There's nothing that can come good from that, is there, those
not
sort of
really.
Questions?
Can you narrow it down to are the worst things that you see involving people who are still with us, or do they tend to be people who have passed away before you even got there?
It's more usually someone that dies on your watch. I mean, Stu was saying, you know, could the question be, am I going to die? And certainly I was asked that question on a number of times in the ambulance. And like always I would answer, not on my watch, as in I'll get you to hospital safely. Whether that was actually going to be true or not, you know, 50-50, who knows? Yeah. But you couldn't say anything other than I'm confident that I will get you to hospital.
You would be telling them I wouldn't be planning too far ahead this week. I wouldn't be bothering buying any lottery tickets next week.
Have you made all your arrangements?
have you got your affairs in order?
That'd be the nicest way of saying it, wouldn't it? Yeah. How am I going to live? Well, have you got all your affairs in order? Oh, yeah, I can imagine, actually.
So, you should write a book. Write it all down.
Oh, there's plenty of books out there, you know. And I don't know, I've successfully managed to forget most of the jobs I've ever done. But, you know, the big ones do kind of stick in your mind. I don't think I would remember enough of them to make an interesting book out of it, you know. But
I mean, having spoken to you over the years about your job,
yeah.
I am amazed. I'm amazed at how as a job, what you have to go through for the money you get paid, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just think, God, that the stress that it must cause you.
It's a lot harder work than like anyone realises, really, because there's so much lifting involved. You're often carrying 20 stone people down multiple flights of stairs, you know. I mean, paramedics have no special dispensation to retire early, unlike the police, who can retire after 30 years because their job is so hard. Unlike firefighters, who have special dispensation to retire well before retirement age. How politicians think that paramedics can continue doing the job until they're 68, you know, carrying
carrying and all the lifting involved and the stress as well.
Yeah. God, I didn't know that.
It's out of this world. And I just think it's a real sort of unfairness of the system as it currently is.
Yeah. Do you deal with a lot of people who, you know, you said like 20 stone people being brought down? Is that because a lot of 20 stone people have a lot of heart attacks?
Well, you're going to be unwell, aren't you, if you're that large?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Say large.
You can't say large, can you?
Yeah. I think large is the politically acceptable way of saying porky, isn't it?
Yeah. No, you can't say porky.
Can't say porky.
Oh, you can't say porky. Can I unsay that?
Yeah.
Do you watch all the TV shows, like Ambulance?
Absolutely none of them.
Don't you?
Well, because it's like a busman's holiday. Yeah, it's like being at work when you're kind of watching these things. I mean, they once filmed one of the series of Ambulance many years ago at the station that I worked at. I wasn't involved, but of course I knew everybody in it.
Yeah.
And so I watched that just for the kind of fun of it.
I must say, I do like watching all those.
I think they're very well made.
They are good.
Did your colleagues play up for the cameras?
Yeah. Did they ever?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey. All the chat in the cab. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Somebody just been sued or somebody just gone to jail or somebody who was on that show who said something inappropriate or something? I can't remember what it was.
I should think it's entirely possible. But I mean, I haven't heard of that. I mean, the stuff that paramedics say out of earshot of the public would make the front page of newspapers if it got out.
I think that's what the world's like. It always amazes me the people that get into trouble with the media because of something they've said, and you think, but the whole world, everyone says things they shouldn't say, and the idea is you say it privately.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be.
But in the ambulance service, it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
The humour is so dark,
and
it's a way of coping with what you do every day.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's also a misconception amongst most people is that we're dealing with blood and guts all the time. That's actually not true. Right. 80 to 90% of the work you do is incredibly low level because ambulances are free, and people will call an ambulance at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, basically, your mother-in-law.
My mother-in-law loves an ambulance call.
Occasionally, my mum.
So we go into a lot of belly aches, ingrowing toenails, hurty hair, all of this bollocks.
Somebody needs a hot water bottle.
That must make you fume when that happens, doesn't it?
If you let it, yeah. But, I mean, you know, if you chose to spend your career telling off any patient who you believe shouldn't have called an ambulance, you'd be telling off 80% of your patients. You know,
have you got to a stage where, not dropping anybody's name, but basically your mother-in-law, called the ambulance unnecessarily and then you haven't got to your next call and it's been too late for somebody?
Yes, I have experienced that.
I have
been on a fast response car where you work alone, dealing with a drunk in the street in Ladbroke Grove, listening to a cardiac arrest call out on my radio, which I knew I was streets away from. But when you've come to a patient, you've now got a duty of care. You can't just walk away from them. But fortunately, in that particular instance, there were two coppers walking down the street, and I said to them, "Will you care for this guy? Because honestly, I've got to go," and they took responsibility, and so that kind of worked out fine. But all the time you're dealing with idiots and drunks when you know the opportunity cost of doing that is that you're not available to deal with the bread and butter, the cardiac arrests and so on, you know.
Gosh, so many questions.
You could go on forever, but we haven't got time for that, have we? Because
very good,
they're very good, Martin. Yeah, we might pick this up again actually
anytime.
So Stu,
right,
tell us and give him a name check.
Daniel Evans, who's also a good friend of the show.
Yes.
He has given us a quiz in two sealed envelopes, or one half sealed envelopes. There's the answers. I shall put them there.
So we can all join in. So you'll
ask
the questions.
Everybody can play. Get your pens and papers ready at
home. But you don't know the answer either, do you?
And this is similar to one we did previously. It's called Daniel's version of Better Known As, and he's split it into categories.
So why was that envelope open before
that's what we asked earlier, wasn't it? Yeah.
If you want to think like that, you can.
Gives him thinking time, even if he hasn't looked up the answer, doesn't it?
Okay, so it goes to...
He's ignoring us.
To get you going, a bit harder now, pretty tricky, impressed if you get these, genius level.
Right.
Okay.
I think I'm going to struggle from the off.
No.
What's the premise of Better Known As?
So, for example, question number one is musician Reg Dwight.
I'm all right with that one.
Yeah. So basically this. So I'm playing along as
You're
well, so I'm
going
to write it on this. Right, here we go. Reg White, musician.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, singer Harry Webb.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I'm all right with that one.
Yeah.
And okay.
How are you doing, Loney?
I like the first one.
I didn't like the second one.
I'm torn between...
It's going to be a long quiz.
Oh, God.
Thomas Woodward is a singer. Thomas Woodward.
I'm just going to have to guess.
Thomas Woodward. Question number four. Norma Jean Mortensen.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Question number five. Maurice Micklewhite, actor.
I know that one. Actor, did you say?
Actor.
Actor.
My name.
No idea.
Singer, Farouk Bulsara.
These are the easy ones.
These are the easy
ones. I'll tell you what, I'm in trouble.
I'm in so much trouble.
Well,
as well.
It's not your Gorgonzola one now, pal, is it?
He's getting me back.
See, karma. Is there a cheese called karma? I'm not sure.
You're going to be so smug
what
now, aren't you?
Farouk Bulsara.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, I think I might have just got that
come
one.
Come on. A bit harder now.
Number seven now, yeah.
This is hard. They get harder than that.
Apparently,
a bit harder. Which is the last thing you heard. I'm just saying that whilst we're being smutty. Robert Galbraith, author.
Robert.
Oh, good one, Daniel. Excellent one.
Hang on. What was that last one?
Robert Galbraith, author.
Galbraith.
This is a good one, this one. Wrestler Shirley Crabtree.
Oh, yes, I know that one.
I'm guessing, but I reckon I might have a good shot at it.
A good shot there.
Oh,
which wasn't that a film that Hulk Hogan was in? Similar sort of stuff, probably.
Shirley Crabtree.
Okay.
Musician Gordon Sumner.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Absolute bell end of a man.
Oh, really?
Sorry, Alex, you might have to cut that bit out. I think he's quite litigious.
He'll be too busy having 6 hour long tantric sex.
Oh, that's giving the game away for loads of
I knew it. Actually.
calm down.
He's getting on my nerves.
Well, he gets on my nerves all the time, you boys.
We all knew it.
That's fine.
Daniel, your quiz has caused quite a lot of controversy.
Absolutely.
Actor Marion Morrison.
Oh, yeah. Know that one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Marion Morrison.
Oh. Eric Weiss, Weisz, entertainer. Eric Weiss.
He's an entertainer.
Eric Weiss apparently is, whoever the bloody hell that may be.
I'm just guessing.
Clearly.
I'm just coming up with very...
Clearly an American.
Very famous people.
Eric Weiss. I'm going to have an educational guess, as my dad would have to say. Educated guess. Right. Comedian Jim Muir. M-O-I-R.
Jim Moyer.
Moyer. Moyer Muir. Same bloke anyway.
Yeah.
That's the a bit harder now.
Oh, hang on a minute.
And now we're steaming into... Who the fuck's Eric Weiss? Who would Eric Weiss
Can you just say 12 again?
Oh, God, if I knew which one...
After Eric Weiss.
Jim...
Moyer.
Are they going to get harder?
It's at the end of the stick.
Stop.
Don't give clues.
I have to give a clues every week. This is how we play.
It meant nothing.
Come on, next one. 13.
All right, calm down. Just because you did so badly on the cheese one. Calm down. Pretty tricky section now. Richard Starkey, musician.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that's...
That's a pretty easy one.
Yeah,
that's an easy one for them.
Yeah, easier the better.
Model... Leslie Hornby.
Oh, I know that one.
Oh, yeah.
Went to my primary school.
Did she?
Mm.
Yeah, she did. She's from Easton.
How you giving the game away?
Hang on.
I heard of being interviewed. Dave. She did Desert Island Discs and she was brought up in Easton.
Correct.
Hang on, is it who I think it is?
I don't know.
I was mouthing it. Yeah, well, her sister is married to my uncle.
Get out of town. No. Is that true?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
The connections we've got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See? 12 Steps of a Connection.
So she's family.
Family.
Yeah.
Actor Stephanie Clifford. Oh, that's one. Oh, these are getting a bit trickier.
Oh,
a bit.
Stephanie Clifford.
No idea.
Okay, actor Margaret Hyra, H-Y-R-A.
These are too hard.
These
Dan.
Are what?
Dan.
Well, yeah, we haven't even gone into.
We used to love you. We these. Don't anymore. Margaret who?
Margaret Hyra. Actor.
No idea.
Well, it's only, well, I'm not sure I'm going to get the next
more
one.
Are there?
Well, there's quite a few. There's a few more. I'm not sure I get the next one because I'm not sure I can actually read it. Isa Danielevich. Isa Danielevich is an actor.
Actor.
Isa Danielevich, actor.
No idea.
Okay, this is, yeah, pretty tricky. Yeah. Alan Konigsberg. Konigsberg is a film director.
Oh.
I'm going to educated guess. Oh, is it? Well, it might be a bit fucking stupid. Okay. Two more little levels to go. Paul Hewson, musician.
Oh, I know.
That's bloody one. Easier than the last few. Oh. Thank you very much.
Oh, I actually could get that one. Okay.
That's what's his name, isn't it?
What's his face? Next one. Marie Laurie is a singer.
Marie Laurie
is a singer. Is she? As is the author Mary Ann Evans. What bloody hell is Mary Ann Evans
no
going
idea.
To be?
What number are we on?
21, that was. How many of these are there?
There's about four or five more.
Okay.
Singer Angela Trimble. Fuck's sake.
Shall we end it there?
No. I've got a few more to go.
Angela
Trimble.
What, singer?
Singer Angela Trimble. Also the singer Gaynor Hopkins. Oh, fuck, I have heard of that one.
Oh,
that's going to really annoy me, that one. Oh,
my last 10 answers have been absolute guesses. Never heard of them.
A bit like the service station chief.
Exactly.
If we're honest.
Exactly.
I think that's where my luck might have gone. Oh, I know this one. Robert Alan Zimmerman.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
Oh, you lot know too much.
Yeah.
Don't include me on that. What was his name, Robert?
Robert Alan Zimmerman.
Oh, I know that.
Okay, now apparently we're going into genius level.
Oh,
now,
my gosh.
So not if we were in enough shit anyway. Now we're going to genius level.
Right.
There's okay. two.
Right. What, two?
Right,
God,
there's two.
Only two.
Oh, okay.
First one is actor Lee Jung Fan. Lee Jung Fan is an actor. I'm going to take a wild swiping guess.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be one of two for me. I might get one of your half points. I'm going for...
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a half point for this one because basically I've gone for two, so I want to be good. So basically I'm reading them, so I don't care. And the last one, I actually think I might know. Anna May Bullock.
Yes, I do know that.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's genius level,
that's
space.
That's genius level, but I have no idea
Anna
who Mary Ann Evans is.
Oh, I do know Anna May Bullock, and I've forgotten it.
Well, then you're right up the shit creek
Splendid.
Without a paddle then.
Oh, boy.
Right. So, that is the end of the quiz. You might choose to press pause.
Yeah.
And then we... we're going to give ourselves an extra 2 or 3 minutes to have a look at the ones we couldn't get, and then we're going to come back with the answers.
I'm going to take a long time.
Hello, and we're back. I'm hoping my hello was a lot more manly than the last time I did
no,
it.
No, you didn't have lovely. To say we're back because we didn't really go anywhere.
Oh,
I just stopped the tape.
Good
so,
point well made. Okay,
anyway,
fair enough.
We'll see.
Anyway,
that gives out
I now have
can
the
do.
Famed envelope.
Well done.
It's as exciting as who's winning the
okay.
Oscar. Slightly less political. You can hear me ripping it open.
Early esteemed by Stu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I paid someone, my private detective, a lot of money for that. I think it's fairly obvious I haven't cheated because there's a hell of a lot of ones on my things that I haven't got a clue where they are.
No.
So if I was, I would have cheated and made myself look a little bit more intelligent. Here we go.
Here we go then.
Right.
Can I ask the first one, please?
This is right. So annoying. Let me see this. Right. Okay. Get your pens out. Get your cross or a tick in the box. Mm. Reg Wright.
Elton John.
Correct.
Hooray.
Yes.
Harry Webb.
Cliff Richard.
Correct. Thomas Woodward.
No, I think. Edward Woodward, but...
Tom Jones.
It is Tom Jones. I can't believe I didn't get
guessed.
That. Norma Jean Mortensen.
Has to be Marilyn Monroe.
It is Marilyn Monroe. Maurice McElwain.
My name is Michael Caine.
Do your best, Michael Caine.
My name
is
Michael Caine.
I only meant you to blow the bloody doors off.
Oh my God, you sounded like F.W. de Klerk.
My name is Michael Caine.
Anyway,
okay, that's right. Maurice McElwain is Michael Caine, and Farouk Bulsara is
Freddie Mercury.
Robert Galbraith, author, is better known as
Stephen King.
Oh,
J.K. Rowling.
Robert.
That's her pseudonym, isn't it? That's who she writes the detective runs under, isn't she?
I was with you there, Martin.
Yeah, well done, Stu. Mm. Got that one right. Shirley Crabtree.
Big Daddy.
Correct, Big Daddy.
Ooh.
Spag's best mate, Gordon Sumner, is also known as...
Sting.
Marion Morrison.
Get off your horse and drink your milk.
Is it?
It is.
John Wayne.
It is John Wayne.
Why he's called Marion, God only knows.
Eric Weiss, entertainer.
No idea.
Didn't put anyone.
Didn't get anybody.
Frank Sinatra.
Eric Morecambe, whatever his name is.
Harry Houdini.
So
none of us got that one. Jim Moir.
Vic Reeves.
It is Vic Reeves.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Stick Vic.
Oh.
I tried to help you.
Sorry, you did.
I think it's quite, because when he's on things like... Jules Holland, Hootenanny. I mean, they all call him Jim. Nobody calls him Vic, do they?
No.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, Daniel. I'm actually very impressed with Daniel when I've read what he's written down here. Richard Starkey.
Ringo Starr.
Correct. Leslie Hornby.
Twiggy.
Auntie Twiggy.
Yeah. Auntie Twiggy for you.
Uh-huh.
This is a very good one. Stephanie Clifford.
I'm
actor.
Stephanie Beecham.
I thought that.
He's actually... Donald's best friend, Stormy Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding, that's Daniel. Correct. None of us got it right.
I much prefer her stage name.
Yes. Margaret Hira, actor.
I didn't put anyone for these next two.
Joanna Lumley.
Sophia Loren.
Meg Ryan.
Oh.
What did you put, Stu?
No, I didn't know. Right. I missed out on that one. But I've magically happened to have written in Meg Ryan, amazingly. It's amazing how my pen just happened to write it all down. Blimey. Issa Danielevich.
No idea. No.
What's his name?
Nothing.
Albus Idris. What's his name?
Albus Idris. That's a spooner Danielevich. He's better known as Kirk Douglas.
Oh really?
Good one, Daniel. Oh, fuck it.
18.
Alan Konigsberg, film director.
Steven Spielberg.
I put Spielberg. It's Woody Allen.
Is it?
So, amazingly, with a bit of pen work, Steven Spielberg can become Woody Allen. But no, we all got that one wrong. But it's good that we all thought badly wrongly together. Impressed if you get these. Paul Hewson, musician.
Paul Bono. McCartney.
Is that Bono?
Bono.
Is it Bono, right?
Yeah,
I'm guessing here. All the minor
was
guesses.
Is Hewson? I meant, because her Hewson daughter's is, an actress, isn't she?
Yeah, she is Eve Hewson.
What's the Edge's real name? He's got a normal
Daniel Evans or Dave, David, no, David Evans.
David Evans
is
right,
the Edge's name.
None of them sound very Irish, do they? Paul Hewson and David Evans.
Marie Laurie, singer. Bloody easy when you've got the answer in front of you.
Mariah Carey.
Marie Osmond. I'm guessing.
No, Lulu.
Is it Lulu?
I met her.
Did you?
Yeah, on the King's Road. I was shopping with my mum and we stopped and chatted to her. She wasn't super friendly, but...
Wasn't she?
Did you shout after her?
Did you? No, you
really... Come here then.
I said, you know what, Lulu? You really make me... No, you know, I don't get that.
21.
Mary Ann Evans is an author...
No idea.
No idea.
Yes, no one's getting this.
Daniel
George
Steele.
Eliot, The Mill and the Floss and the Middle Arch. Good one. Angela Trimble, singer.
Trimble's sort of not
Irish,
is it?
I put Dana, but it's not Dana. It certainly is not Dana. It's Debbie Harry.
Oh.
As far away from Debbie Harry and Dana as you could possibly get.
Dana.
Gaynor Hopkins is also very easy. When
I put
the
Gloria
answer.
Gaynor.
I put that.
I put Catherine Jenkins.
Catherine Jenkins, who didn't sleep with David Beckham? That one?
Yeah.
No. Bonnie Tyler, who probably also didn't sleep with David Beckham.
I was trying to think of somebody Welsh.
Yeah, Bonnie Tyler. Robert Alan Zimmerman.
Oh, that's Bob Dylan.
That's Bob Dylan.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that.
It's not Alan Alda then.
Oh, fucking get me. Get me. I'm just going to say this quietly.
Were you right?
Get me.
Can I?
Genius level.
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee, I put.
Bruce Lee.
Not the other one, is it?
Oh, that's what I put. I put Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan.
I didn't get anything.
Bruce Lee.
I've got a genius level one.
You got genius. You don't get half a point because you edged your bet.
Shut your face.
But I'm all right.
Yeah, half
a
shut
your face. And Anna May Bullock.
Anita Dobson.
Tina Turner.
Anita Dobson.
Just put it in. It's a random answer.
Tina Turner.
I had some.
So I got both
first,
the bloody genius level ones, but I didn't get a load of the others. Daniel,
so
that is an outstanding
quiz.
That
was very good.
Very good. Right, add up your marks.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
6.
16. 9.
16?
I got
9.
Did you?
Oh, just as is. I got 16.
Did you get
16?
Did you? Yeah. I'm so bottom of the class
I'm just,
for that
I'm
one.
Just got to say that actually, that's good because I've also got 16.
It might be because you've got a life, Martin, because you haven't wasted all your years
I'm not culturally
telly.
Aware like
quite
you.
Quite frankly, got. I just think it's amazing that I just happened to get 16 in both. I'm just saying, I just thought I'd throw that one
and,
out there.
No, you must have got something and a half because you could put Bruce Lee and James.
He's making up the score spag as he goes along.
Seriously, you really do need to get a bit of a life.
Okay.
Right.
Well, everybody. So, thank you very much, Dan, for that.
Well done,
see if you can something else. That was very a good way of doing it as well, with the old sealed envelope.
Yeah.
Might do that again.
So, we're going to have a bit of a break for probably 6 weeks, I think, aren't we? Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's autumn. We'll be back in the autumn.
Yeah, there's too many things going on for us to keep doing these. But it's been fantastic having you, Martin.
Thank you.
Thank
been
you,
great.
Martin.
I'm
brilliant.
Really
going to
be a regular guest. If you've enjoyed it, hopefully you'll come down and
love
do
to.
Some more.
Yeah.
Do as many as you like, quite frankly.
Yeah.
The list is quite big. I'm sure you can come back.
So, yes, that's been lovely. And a bit of a natural.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
isn't
I was
he
looking
just?
At you then.
I know. I was like, what? I'm not new here.
She was looking at I'm the talent.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's been lovely to have you, Martin.
Thank you so much. She'll get in touch with us on our chat after to say, don't get him back.
Don't get
what a wanker. He's stealing my thunder.
Yes, we won't be doing that. We'll be getting her. We're getting her agent.
Yeah. So we'd like to expand on various bits and pieces. So we've got lots to do there. So we'll see you sometime in the autumn. Have a lovely rest of the summer.
Thank you very much for listening over the last few months. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. And enjoy the rest of your summer. Yeah.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Pots Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.